Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. It's hard to believe we are already at the end of July. Where did the time go? But alas, here we are at the end of July, the last week of July, and here we are, looking at the fall, looking at the end of summer in some places. Folks are going back to school next week. Everybody's starting to turn their attention to the back half of the year, the fall, the winter. How do they prepare themselves for 2023? Well, the perfect way to prepare yourself for 2023 is to make plans to be in September in Indianapolis, September 13th to the 16th. In Indianapolis, particularly at the Crown Plaza Union Station for the FTR Transportation Conference. We have four big days planned this year. We've got the Truck and Trailer Equipment Day, we've got the Truck Freight Day, we've got the Rail Freight Day, and we've got the Rail Equipment Day. All 4 days, jam-packed, lots of content, lots of networking. You will not want to miss it for sure in Indianapolis. Put it on your calendar right now. Go to ftrconference.com. Get all the information you need, sign up, register. We'd love to see you there. It's going to be a great 4 days that are going to help you run your business, help you stay on the cutting edge of what's going on in transportation with all the uncertainty, with all of the questions out there about the economy, about the freight markets. We are here to help. We are to bring together the industry's thought leaders as well as the FTR perspective, the FTR analysis perspective to bear on where things are headed. You will not want to miss it. And remember, if you're thinking about rail, that's who I presume most of you are out there who care about. You care about rail. You're listening to the Rail Market Update podcast. We're going to have a little bit of a modified golf outing this year, a hot off the presses. It's going to be on our Truck Freight Day on Tuesday up at Topgolf in Fishers, Indiana, presented by our good friends at Greenbrier. We thank them for that. You'll be able to get out and hit some clubs, get out there and network with all of your friends in the industry and have an all-around good time before the real hard work starts in the rail industry on that Thursday when we get down to the brass tacks about where the industry is going from a rail freight perspective. It will be a great time as part of your conference registration. Do go over to ftrconference.com and get locked down now for that. But with that, now we'll turn our attention to where we're going this year, where we've seen things in the recent past. And well, overall, it's not a great story. Overall, it's a pretty weak summer report. It's a pretty, what was that old song? The lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Well, that's about where we are here at the end of July. Volumes are pretty lazy. They're pretty weak. They're right around the five-year average. But there's all this craziness on the horizon. There's all this crazy. What's going to happen on the West Coast? What's going to happen with the permit systems and the metering systems that are out there on the Class 1s? What's going to happen with the Canadian Pacific Kansas City Southern merger application? What's going to happen with the two-man crew proposal that came out this week from the Federal Railroad Administration? Beyond that, what's going to happen with the negotiations that are ongoing now in the Presidential Emergency Board phase of the process between the Class 1 railroads and their operating employees? What does that mean? What does that foretell? What does your magic 8-ball look like for the future on all of those issues that have the potential to unleash craziness upon the industry and the shippers that use it to move their freight to market? And as I said, service and labor issues are front burner issues, particularly now that we're into the PEB phase of the process. We won't know much until we see what the recommendations of the PEB are, but certainly it's something to think about, something to wrap your head around what the contingency looks like as we get closer, as we investigate where we are headed from all of the perspectives, whether it's the West Coast ports, whether it's the rail employees, whether it is not even a full-on shutdown, but a slowdown. If employees work to rule, if employees take some sort of other coordinated job action, what would that look like? How would a shipper respond to that? What would need to happen? We've certainly seen the knock-on effects just last week at the Port of Oakland, where drayage truckers essentially went on strike. Now, they're not unionized, but it was a picket line, a protest, a refusal to go to work because they're protesting a California law that threatens the independent contract model. And what happened? The unionized employees, the dock workers at the Port of Oakland, refused to cross those picket lines, refused to go to work, refused to get freight moved at the Port of Oakland. You know, what does that mean for shippers moving goods through that port? That means that you have issues, that your freight, is essentially locked at that port until things resolve. How would a shipper respond to that? How would you go about moving your freight? What would you need to do in that scenario? It's a good thing to think through what that looks like for your business, not just against the backdrop of a rail strike, but against the labor unrest at other points in the supply chain, as well. So switching gears, let's jump into the numbers this week. Let's talk about intermodal. Intermodal took a tick down in the latest week. We came out of the 4th of July holiday pretty strong. We got back to where we were running before the holiday. We were right about our five-year average, feeling good about ourselves. And then in the last week, we took a step backward. We're below last year pretty significantly. We're below the five-year average. We're going to have to keep an eye on this. We're going to have to see what exactly happens here going forward. Certainly, there could be some impact on intermodal loadings relative to that Oakland job action, that Oakland closure, that Oakland protest that we talked about at the open. There certainly could be some of that in these numbers. There could be some effect of that, particularly when it comes to intermodal, holding these numbers back. We won't really know until we see the last week's figures, but either way, intermodal, a little bit of a decline last week, not what you really want to see. On the trailer side, a different story. It held pretty stable. We did not see that step down that we saw in containers, that we saw in overall intermodal. We see things just holding about where they were before the July 4th holiday, holding right around 16, 17,000 or so carloads a week from trailers. That is a number that, yes, is down from the five-year average, yes, is down from last year fairly significantly, 25% in fact, but it is essentially in line if we look over a longer period. Where we were in 2019, these numbers would look fairly in line with those results. So yes, it's a bloody chart, it's an ugly chart. Don't read too much into that when you think about adjusting to a new normal, adjusting to a post-pandemic freight landscape. That looks about normal from where we were back before the pandemic. Containers definitely show that dip. They show that decline that we see in the overall intermodal number, right about just under its five-year average, just under last year, right around historical averages, give or take. And we'll have to see where that goes as we go forward. Certainly, any kind of metering that goes on in the next couple of months, any kind of rationing of capacity, particularly at inland rail terminals, is going to come with a cost, is going to come with a headwind to this number, is going to come with the potential that we don't see a peak season this year. And I think at this point we have to say that's a possibility, given all the uncertainty that's out there. Despite demand that remains strong, there are other factors, artificial factors, if you will, holding back how high the volume numbers can go. Switching gears, looking to carload. Carload is basically dead on last year's number. It's almost right over, like a shadow, coming out of the July 4th holiday. Now that's not a great number. On one hand, you can look at it and say we're in line with last year. That's a good place to be. We're not declining. Well, yes, that's true. But that means each of the last 2 years have been well below the five-year average. So you're not growing volumes. You're not adding carloads to the railroads. We've had a lot of discussions, a lot of talk about converting freight from truck to rail and moving carloads that have moved by truck previously on to rail. And what this number shows us is that it's just not happening for any number of reasons, whether it is carriers trying to limit their volumes, whether it is carriers trying to demarket certain lines of business, whether it is shippers saying that they can't deal with the inconsistency of rail service at the moment. Whatever the reason is, carload volumes for the last 2 years have been well below their five-year average. They're not increasing. They're not growing. They're basically treading water in an economy where the demand profile would suggest that carload would perform better than this, but it isn't. That's something everybody in the industry needs to think about, talk about, look themselves in the mirror and say, why aren't volumes growing? What am I doing that is an impediment to volume growth? What is I doing that is an impediment to the railroads gaining additional traffic? And I think shippers have some thoughts on why that is and what carriers could do to better earn that business. It's worth listening to those suggestions to see if that number, can move higher. Economically sensitive freight, for those of you that maybe don't listen all the time, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy, and it's a worse picture here than it is for overall carload. We're not just at last year, we're below last year, and have been for the last several weeks, even before the July 4th holiday. To say nothing of the five-year average, we are below that, clearly, but even below last year's levels on economically sensitive business. Business that is service sensitive, business that in some cases has alternatives to move their freight. They are below last year's levels. They are not returning volumes to the railroad in any way, shape, or form, and haven't since before the 4th of July holiday. You can't just say this is a lag coming out of the holiday. This is something that has been in place for much of the summer. Shifting gears, looking at the coal markets. Coal continues to drive strong. It continues to be up above last year. Now, it's nowhere near its five-year average, and we wouldn't expect it to get back there when you think about the installed base of coal-fired power plants coming down, when you think about where things are headed. But for the moment, volumes are strong. They're above last year, and given that we have almost $9 for MMBTU natural gas prices, that's not surprising that you would see coal dominate and coal be used where it can be used. Particularly when you add in the factor that much of the coal generating installed capacity in the Midwest, in Texas, these are areas that have had a very warm summer to this point. That has supported electricity demand, that has supported every possible generation unit being online. And that is reflective of the strong coal loadings that we've seen over the last several weeks. The other side of the bulk carload sectors, the grain sectors, this is not nearly as rosy a picture. We're starting to see a little bit of traction coming out of the July 4th holiday, but we're at a very low level. We're below last year's levels. We're below the five-year average. We would expect later in the third quarter this number to turn around and turn around pretty dramatically, but we expect it to see a little bit more strength than we have through the first two-plus quarters of the year. So we're going to take a wait-and-see attitude and see exactly what materializes as we get into the harvest season over the next quarter or so. Chemicals traffic, pretty unimpressive coming out of the July 4th holiday. We got back basically to last year's levels last week, and then this week we basically flatlined from there. We're a little bit above the five-year average, but we're down from last year's levels by about 3 or 4%. This is a commodity group we expect to lead growth going forward. So the fact that it's sort of put itself in neutral after the July 4th holiday is not a positive sign, and something we will be watching closely as the weeks move on. Petroleum products loads, we talked a little bit about their surge last week. We gave a good portion of that back in the latest week. We're still above last year. We're still above the five-year average. but we're back within that 19,000 to 21,000 car load a week range that we've been trading in really since the end of the pandemic in late 2020. It hasn't moved a whole lot when you think about petroleum products. Stone, sand, and gravel. This is a good news story. It's traded up each of the last 2 weeks out of the holiday. We're above last year's levels. We're not quite back to our five-year average, but we're certainly stronger than a lot of other commodity types, and that is a good sign for the rest of the economy. Lumber and wood volumes took a step down in the last week after surging out of the July 4th holiday. They really took off like a firecracker last week, but we've given a lot of that back in the latest week. We're still above last year, but we're below our five-year average, and we'll have to see what happens. Certainly, the Federal Reserve's action on interest rates was not helpful to this commodity group. It's not helpful to its demand center. Most lumber demand moves for housing. Housing has its headwinds when you think about higher mortgage rates, when you think about higher inflation, when you think about folks needing to get qualified for financing to be able to close a transaction. This is something that we're going to have to watch very, very closely in the weeks and months ahead. Pulp and paper traffic barely moved in the last week, and it's at a very low level. It is plumbing its depths of the year for 2022. It is down right about 7,200 or so carloads a week, and that is a very low number. That is below last year by almost 10%. It's below the five-year average by more than that, and it is something that a sector that has headwinds. We'll have to see as we go forward how quickly pulp and paper is able to rebound from its current levels, because at the moment, it is in a very, very weak spot, weaker even than it has been earlier in 2022 when we were talking about how weak it was. Well, now we are even below that. On the automotive side, volumes ticked down in the latest week, basically following the pattern they set last year, where they came out of the holiday strongly and then took a step back. We've done that again. We are below our five-year average. We would expect to see a little bit of an uptick in the next several weeks. But what this number does tell us is there's not suddenly a huge supply of semiconductors or rubbers or associated parts to finish vehicles, that things are still sort of gummed up in the supply chain. And that until that resolves itself, this number is really not going to move a whole lot from its 20,000-21,000 carload a week level. Now, when it all breaks loose, we would expect to see this number move dramatically to the high side, but we're not there yet. We're probably 6 months from that, at least 3 months, probably 6 months from when this commodity group actually breaks loose, actually breaks out of its current range. So to wrap up, carload intermodal volumes showing a little bit of weakness as we head to the end of July. They're sort of going on vacation, if you will, before the peak season, before people go back to school, back to the office, start thinking about the fall. And there's a lot of uncertainty out there. We thought there was a lot of uncertainty out there coming out of the pandemic. On the rail side, there's even more uncertainty now because of the service issues, because of the labor issues, the regulatory issues that are out there. It does not ending. The uncertainty is not going away. In some ways, uncertainty is going to be part of the new normal as we go through the balance of 2022 and into 2023. And with that, I would like to thank you for joining us this week. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FCR team if you ever have questions about the market, what you're hearing in the podcast, what you're seeing in the reports, or what you're seeing just even in your line of business. We always love to have that discussion about the markets, about transportation, and what it means for you and your business. Feel free to reach out anytime. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us, and have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.